And I can ask you literally, like, if you would you be able to get married to a man mm-hmm. who has everything you need mm-hmm. but is unattractive? Exactly.
You make sure all the levels are good too, because I took this with me, right?
Yeah, we never.
Ah!
What's wrong with you?
It was really loud. What the
fuck? You heard me from here?
Yeah.
You heard me from here? Oh, sh.
Okay, we're good.
I'm a little thirsty, not gonna
lie. I'm a little sick. I forgot to tell you. Welcome back, guys,
Amir.
To the cousin. Welcome back, guys, to the cousin.
Connection podcast. What kind of sick are you?
It's a little bit of sinus issues. And
you tried to downplay that headache. I asked you. I said, what kind of headache? Is it a
no,
headache?
I think it's fine. I think I'm fine. I'm fine. Yeah, it's been pretty chill. Like, it's like a chill sickness. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
That means it's the start.
What?
It's the start of something new.
It technically was like from last night. So it was like,
exactly.
It's fine. It's whatever.
Did you take meds?
Sorry again, guys. We missed a week there. We might have been in LA for a week.
Did we mention it? No, we didn't.
I don't think we mentioned it. But yeah, we went to LA. We were supposed to film there. I literally brought, like, the only reason I needed to bring an extra bag with me is because I brought all the podcast gear. Didn't touch it once.
We had full intentions of filming.
Yeah.
But we were just having so much fun.
Yeah, and like chilling and just, you know.
We needed that break.
Having a vacation. That's all it is,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, yeah. But you know what we did do?
What did we do? Oh, we did vlog. Yeah, we vlogged. I forgot about that part.
Why'd you look scared?
I don't know. I just forgot for a second. Yeah, we did vlog, mm-hmm. and I did edit a little bit.
Did you?
Thankfully, now that I have the laptop, I was able to edit a little bit on the plane.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I have like 3 more vlogs before this one, so mm-hmm. which one should I do first? What's priority? I'm still trying to figure that out. Maybe the LA will come out first. Maybe the Australian one will come out first.
Maybe we should put out a poll.
Do you guys want the Australian vlog first or the LA vlog first? Let us know.
Yeah,
you might already be disinterested in Australia, even though I feel like the next,
it's so much fun.
Yeah, the next two, I don't know how much, there's a lot of footage, but like I feel like the next two
episodes
maybe, I'm gonna make it 4 parts, are gonna be the best, like visually.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, just wait a few months for that.
You know what though, like I hope you guys know how much work Amir puts into these vlogs.
I'm trying,
and he'll always like show me the progression as he continues to edit it,
mm-hmm.
and usually like I love it so much that I don't think have I given you suggestions.
I don't think so. We've only suggestions are like we have to cut that person out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like I feel like I need to like reel back a little bit and keep it a little bit more simple, because that last vlog I went a little too crazy at the beginning there. And it's like clear that like I put a lot of focus on the beginning, and then kind of like did the rest is like in a regular cookie cutter format, because I spent so much time on the first half.
Did you notice?
What?
Remember there was a person that asked us to cut them out of the last episode,
mm-hmm.
and I actually used the like YouTube editor thing.
Yeah.
And it was so seamless. Did you notice?
Yeah.
I was proud of myself.
Well, like I noticed that I didn't notice
that I cut it out.
Yeah.
Like it was so.
The fact that I didn't notice.
You're like, what did she cut out?
Exactly,
I can't even tell.
See? They don't know. But yeah, so it's been an eventful past couple weeks of us just, you know, out in LA, doing our thing. One thing I wanted to mention about LA, I always get this weird vibe in LA because nothing changes. Does that make sense? Because
like in LA,
like we even mentioned this, like it feels like whenever you're there, you're like in a vortex, like a news, and just like it's almost like there could be so much going on in the world, but you're in LA, it seems like everything is just kind of like on its own path and like its own world, essentially. Because LA has looked the same to me from the first time I went there, like 8 years ago plus, and then like
8 years ago,
I was there when I was 26.
Why'd you go?
That was when Aisha first moved there.
8 years ago?
Because I was 26. I'm 32 now, right? How old am I? I'm 32 now, right? And I remember I actually had my birthday in LA because I went to a place, or like around my birthday, because I remember I went to a place called 26 Beach, and I literally just turned 26.
Are you sure?
Oh, wait. Shoot, my math is wrong. That's 6 years.
I'm like, looking at you like 8 years.
Okay, maybe 6 to 7 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But essentially, like, from then until now, mm-hmm. everything looks exactly the same. Like, none of the streets have changed. Everything still looks just as broken down as it did before, and everything looks just as new as it did before. Like, there's this, like, layer of dust on everything because nothing changes. It rarely rains. And it's almost like when you go into, like, an antique house, and because that, like, that layer of dust, that's essentially the feeling I get whenever I go to LA. It's weird. I love it, though. I love it, though. I'm not hating on it.
You are right in the sense that, like, the vibe is literally always the same.
Exactly.
Like, you know what you're gonna get. Like, yeah. It's very predictable.
Yeah.
But I love it.
And I think, do you think that's because it's an area that doesn't get much change in weather? Like, it's almost the same year round.
Mm.
And, like, and maybe it's also because every time I've gone.
Sorry.
Sorry. Oh, it is kind of late. Maybe it's because. What was I gonna say? Shoot, that threw me off.
I know.
What was I gonna say?
Maybe it's because year after.
Oh yeah, maybe it's because every year or every time I go, it's always like in the fallish time or winter time. So technically, I don't know what LA kind of looks like during the summer.
Same.
But I assume that it looks the same. And maybe I've been there like when it was summer-ish. I can't remember. Maybe there's one time I've gone there around that time, but I couldn't tell you, like, if I was there in the summer or not, because it just all always seems the same.
Yeah, same. I've always gone mm-hmm. in like October/November, and then mm-hmm. one time I went in, I think it was like April. So every year since 2020 that I've gone, mm-hmm. it's always been in October or November.
Hey, cheaper flights, guys.
Cheaper flights, but also the weather's like not too hot, not mm-hmm. too cold.
Yeah. And also you don't want to go. Like, when you're in Toronto, you want to take advantage of that heat as much as you can, and then leave when it gets cooler.
Yeah.
So that's why usually you try and book trips, like, later in the year. But also another thing, I feel like we notice it, or at least I've noticed it more, because we live in a city. This might be even a Canadian versus American thing, but we live in a city where essentially it's still a baby compared to America. We live in a country that's still a baby compared to America.
A baby, like, in what sense?
Infrastructure-wise and, like, development-wise. Mm-hmm. Like, Toronto does not look the same as it did 5 years ago, let alone 10 years ago, let it go 15. Like, it's changed so much.
Yeah.
And it's progressively changing, like, you know, sky-rises going up monthly now, right? Mm-hmm. So our skyline is changing constantly. Mm-hmm. Restaurants we've gotten used to are changing constantly. Yeah. Like, you know, the new spots that we can go to, almost every week there's a new spot you can go to, right? Mm-hmm. And in LA, or in America in general, maybe because I kind of have seen this in other places I've gone in America, it's typically doesn't change that much. Like, they have their spots, and that's how it is, because they've had the hundreds of years before us to develop, or at least, like, those cities have been established so much more earlier than us, right?
I think for LA, mm-hmm. just because it seems like that trend, like, first of all, Hollywood is housed there.
Yeah.
But, like, that's, like, the home base for a lot of celebrities. Mm-hmm. So I feel like nightclubs probably pop up a lot, if that's even still a thing. Mm-hmm. Or restaurant/nightclubs.
Maybe, like, entertainment things. Yeah. But that doesn't change much about the infrastructure. Like, they also, I think they have a rule in LA. Maybe this is why it's also a big thing, where they can't build, like, high rises.
They can't
within, like, LA proper.
I didn't know that.
Google this. Oh, okay, it's because, well, I don't know. I'm going off of Reddit, but it basically said that in the 50s and 60s, like, the single family home, or that LA, the American dream, essentially became very popular. Of, you know, two kids, a dog, and a house. So that's why they just started building a bunch of houses in LA, and it became like a sprawl. That's why I think we even mentioned it on the trip, where LA just keeps going.
Yeah.
It almost never stops. Like, just houses on houses, it just keeps going. There's, like, duplexes, and
they have a lot of duplexes.
Yeah.
Like, do we have those here? I've never seen one like that style.
Maybe in, like, old Toronto and, like,
okay,
down, not even downtown. Downtown is more condos now, but, like, right on the outskirts of the city, like, especially in Etobicoke, those places, you definitely see a lot of those. In Scarborough, even, you see it kind of is like that until it turns into houses, mm-hmm. right? So that was just something that I kind of, like, was thinking about when I was in LA. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think it's also, there was something we mentioned where, like, when you're on vacation, it's almost like the whole world stops in your view, where you're not really paying attention to the news as much. You're not really up on like what's going on in pop culture. You're not really watching, like, every day you might be watching your favorite show. Well, you guys are definitely watching your favorite show or like your favorite YouTuber, at least in my case. But then you'll leave for a couple weeks and you just don't watch them and you don't catch up on what they're doing.
You were watching Philip DeFranco one day.
Philip DeFranco is always a constant. Okay. Philip DeFranco will always be a constant. I'll always show you guys, because you guys love Philip DeFranco too. Okay. I see everybody being engaged when I'm watching those videos.
You know why? Because it's on like level 60 volume. We have no choice.
I don't know what you're talking about. I left that. I never touched the volume once on that TV. Don't even make that face. I never touched it once. I don't know what you're talking about. But
that's a lie. It was on level 60, guys.
What?
It was. It was.
That was you guys. That was you guys watching your
Love is Blind. Love is Blind, Habibi.
Which was really dumb.
It was good. Don't lie. You were engaged at some point.
I was not engaged at all.
Amir, don't lie.
I was literally on my phone for most of it.
But why don't you just try?
Why would I try? Those shows are so. I don't see the value in those shows at all. I don't know. It teaches
you about people's character, how to handle, like, you know, is love truly blind? Like, would you have still married Hanan
but
if you never saw her?
But we all know the answer, because the show literally shows us multiple times where people will be revealed and they'll hate each other. They won't even be attracted to each other anymore.
But some of them still got married.
What?
Remember, they got married.
Yeah, but technically it's not blind, because they do have, like, if the show was... You have the whatever the blocks. What do they call those things? The cells, and then they get the pods, and then they ask them for their marriage, and then they actually get married before they see each other. That's when I would say Love is Blind.
But because
why?
Because they leave the pods and they still have to be in a relationship with each other. They're still like, it's just like the road to marriage.
Okay. Maybe they have to do something creative where they still have that relationship, but they never get to see each other. Like, they wear a bag over their head for the whole show.
So they just, like, basically develop the relationship strictly in the pod?
Yeah, like, the woman has to wear, like, a full jilbab.
That's crazy.
Like, niqabi, like, eyes covered, face covered. The dude has to wear a full, like, kameez or thob, you know, face covered. He's basically almost, like, wearing, like, the male version of a niqabi. Yeah, shiesty, yeah, something like that. So, you know, even though they have to go in public, it might look weird, but it'll still, you know, keep to that standard of finding out whether or not love is blind. But just cover them up.
But by I believe it's like 10 days that they're in the pods, right? They usually come to the conclusion of like, you know, will you marry me? And they all say yes. And then they have to, like, the American Love is Blind, they live together. But this is like the UAE version, so they don't live together because they're all Muslim.
I guess because this is a show, so you're not going to take the name literally. But if you did take the name literally.
Yeah. So you don't think Love is Blind?
Love is. No. No. We're still human. There are certain things that, like, your human brain can't get past. Yeah. And I can ask you literally, like, would you be able to get married to a man who has everything you need but is unattractive? Exactly.
I didn't say anything yet. That smile was literally
all I needed. Right?
I didn't say anything.
But, like, you
smile.
Is
he rich?
What?
Is he rich?
Is that one of your requirements? If it's one of your requirements, yes. Let's say he's rich, but you're not attracted to him. Or, like, he's not physically attractive. You're attracted to his qualities, but not, like, what he looks like.
Like, is he ugly, or is he just like
he is
just
but ugly? Like, you know, only a face a mama could love. Exactly. I'm telling you, you won't do it.
There has to be like some level of attraction, but I think if you have fallen in love with like someone's soul, their heart, their character, that tends to like beautify them. Like, you know, sometimes like you'll meet somebody.
But can you get over that, like, you know, that little thing in your head? Sorry, I cut you off. I don't know what you're about to say there.
I don't know. This should be an experiment.
Actually, yeah, no. They should make a show.
They should make a show.
And call it Love is Blind.
No, I mean, I should test this out.
So you want to go on Love is Blind,
no.
Habibi, now?
Gosh, no. We would, like, do it in our own confined Cousin Connection space.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of... Love is Blind, not Love is Blind, but like just like marriage stuff in general. Mm. I was listening to a...
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
Podcast slash like live show from a YouTube page called Safina Society.
Oh, I love
where
that
they recently, but they recently had.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw him. He was a TikToker. I wish I had his name right now.
His name is, oh crap, I forgot. We follow each other on Instagram. What's his name?
You actually?
Yeah, because I saw his TikToks, and yeah. I was like, oh, that's a really cool concept. His Zach name? Zakaria.
Okay.
Why did I say it?
So there's this guy on YouTube or on TikTok. Actually, he was doing this series where he was essentially visiting every mosque in the world, right? And people are like, oh, you know, this is a cool idea, visiting every mosque in the world. But eventually people are like, why are you doing this? And he came out saying that he's doing this as like a research project for another dating app, I guess you could say, quote unquote dating app, because it's a little bit different, called In Pairs. And this podcast that he recently did, maybe I'll put it in the link below, he broke it down and told you exactly how it works, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the main ones everyone knows is, what is it? Muzmatch,
which recently got,
like, yeah, Muzmatch and Salams. Those are like the two.
It's actually
ones.
Called Muzz now because they got sued by Match.com.
Yeah. So there's Muzz and then there's Salams. And Salams used to have another name too, but they
what
actually.
What was that called again?
It was something similar to like
Minder.
That's what it was.
Yeah. I was like, what was it?
And the reason they actually changed it is not because they got sued. Oh. It's because they got scared of what happened to Muzmatch.
What happened to Muzmatch? Oh, like because they got sued.
Yeah, because they got sued because their name was so close to
Match.com
or something like that. And because they saw that, they're like, ah, we don't want to have to worry about like, you know, the issues that might come up or being sued like they did. So they got ahead of it and changed their names from Minder to Salams. But so those apps work very similar to how your regular dating app works. I don't know exactly. I've never used a dating app, but I'm pretty sure that typically they work where they just literally show the person's name, age. I've seen this in movies, like it's a name, age, and their picture, right?
You have a whole profile.
No, but the first thing you see is name and age, right? And then their picture.
Yeah. And then if you want to like, if the picture itself sparks your interest, then you can read their profile.
Before you do left or right or whatever, right? So essentially how this one works in pairs is he explained it and that he takes your information, you enter your information, you answer a bunch of questions.
So you create a profile.
Yeah, you create a profile. Mm-hmm. I like to imagine it's similar to that woman on that like Indian matchmaker. Oh my God.
Sima auntie?
Yeah, exactly. Where she literally has like a paper with like their CV or their
bio data.
Resume. Yeah, their bio data and a picture of them.
Yeah.
I'm imagining that it's something similar to that, at least how he explained it on the podcast.
Yeah.
And then after you enter your information, he said on the 27th of every month, they actually reveal who they match you to.
They match you with
someone? They match you with someone. So that's the difference here. They actually match you
with
someone, right?
So they're like matchmakers, I guess, behind the scenes.
Exactly. So initially, I thought he was speaking like, you know, someone manually is doing this. But it was later clarified that they're working currently on like an AI algorithm.
I was just going to say, like, is it AI based on like the keywords that you put in?
Exactly.
Or something?
Exactly. So, that's like an interesting way of getting around it because it's not really scalable, right? To have an individual doing those matches, like, and I sometimes I actually trust AI more than a person when it comes to like matching information, and like there are certain things that a normal person might catch, like this human error all the time, right? But yeah, so you put in your information on the 27th of every month, you're given an email with a few profiles. And you can say, like, on the app that they have, you can say yes or no, depending on the person's... You're given a picture, mm-hmm. but you're also given the information, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you say no, or let's say there's no one that you match with, on the 28th, they actually release more matches.
Oh.
So they do it, like, in a wave format.
So you're automatically matched with people. You're not actually swiping through, like, a typical...
Exactly. You just enter your information, and you sit back and wait for the 27th.
Interesting.
And it was an interesting thing. And he's like, if they put it out on the 27th, and if you fall outside of that 24-hour window, like, you miss out on those opportunities, and then you have to go on to the 28th and see who you match with on those ones. I think that's how it works. Maybe I'll have to, but that's sort of how it was broken down on the podcast. I could be wrong, but they're still in development process, I believe. And this is strictly within North America. So it's only Canadians and Americans. Is he Canadian himself? No, he's American. He's American, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't watch that episode, but I saw on his story, or I think it might have been like Dr. Shadi's story.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they were recording it.
Yeah, they and that was recorded a couple of days ago. Mm. I only saw it today, and I was like, oh, this might be
interesting. They released it already. Wow, okay.
Yeah, so because they do it live, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's a live show every Monday to Thursday, I think.
Yeah.
And I was like, at first I was like, how is this any different? Than your average dating show, that you're, not dating show, your dating app. Like,
it is very different.
Like, yeah, it is very different because the issue with those other apps, because at the end of the day, you're getting the same result in that, like, once you do say yes, you're giving each other this information and then you're going to go forward from there, which is essentially what happens on the other apps, right? So the main difference is that they're matching you with someone, right? Mm-hmm. And his, I guess, critique of the other apps is that you have, like, the illusion of choice. Or not illusion of choice, but...
Paradox of choice.
A paradox of choice?
I think that's the... Yeah, because I read this article, like, maybe last year.
Yeah.
Where you have this illusion of way more options that you typically would in real life.
Yeah.
And so you might meet someone who's, like, pretty good. Mm-hmm. But then you're like, you know what? Why am I going to settle for this when I know I can find like five more guys or five more girls?
Yeah.
And so you're never satisfied with whatever pick you have because you always think there's something better or someone else better.
Yeah. And that was a thing that I was like mulling in my head. I was like, will this solve that issue, or will the men or women still have that same itch in their brain to be like, ooh, I wonder, let's say they release it on the 27th and there's like one person, they're like, ooh, I really kind of like this one here, and but they'll say, you know what, there might be a better one tomorrow, so I'm gonna wait till tomorrow. Do you think that might be an issue, or am I overthinking it?
It could, if someone's like a chronic user of regular dating apps, then they might still have that mentality. But if someone's like never used one, or maybe haven't used one in a while, then they might be more open-minded to the process and like actually like use it to its full potential.
Yeah, because it does seem like a little bit more of a mature platform, at least for how it works. Like, it first off, it requires patience because let's say you enter your information on the first of the month, you're waiting 27 days.
Yeah, it's a long time,
right? And that gives you time to, like, you know, think it over and you know, see maybe the questions you put in, like, think about the things that you are important to you, all those. But if you're just on an app and you have, like, instant access to it, to matching, you might not think about those deeper questions. Mm-hmm. Because he did mention that the questions on the questionnaire or the profile you're making are a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. They're not all super surface level. And it did seem like something that a lot older people might be more inclined to use. And I was going to ask you, would you use something like this?
Should I? I don't know. I don't really like.
I feel like this could be something really good for, like, you guys.
Should I do it for the plot?
Do it. You were trying to get me to do one for the longest time. Yeah, thankfully, I didn't actually have to go through with that. But now it's your turn. I'm just saying. You already followed the guy. I'm just, you know, it could be, honestly, it could be a sponsoring opportunity. You could literally be the face of the app.
Oh, hell no. Nah. But you know what? He actually, you know what's really funny?
What?
I have to show you this. He recently got married. Mm-hmm. And look at this genius.
Yeah, I saw. He actually got married to someone in Dallas.
I thought he was from Dallas. Is he not?
No.
I don't know where he's from.
I don't know, actually.
But look at this genius caption. So this is his post. We'll put it up here.
Yeah.
Sorry. It says, and he created you in pairs.
Never lose a sponsorship opportunity.
And someone wrote, did you start in pairs just for this caption? And he wrote, someone else wrote mastermind.
Maz was 10 steps ahead.
Yeah, literally.
But that's, you know, maybe he's like the first test subject. Because I don't know if I didn't get all the way through the podcast.
Because
It would be interesting if he was the first test subject. Like, before he did all this, like, he didn't have a partner.
Yeah.
And he used it to be able to find a match. Because that would be, like, the ultimate ad for this thing, right?
You know, that is. Mm-hmm. And that's a high-key genius. But, you know, someone gave me that advice. They were like, you and Amir created a podcast. You should just use that to find somebody. And I was like, that's not the purpose of the podcast.
Hey, you got
to
use your fans.
No.
And you guys have some brothers, you know, in the, like, you know, 30 to, like, 32 range.
Don't you remember whenever we would go on TikTok Live and people would, like, put in there? I miss TikTok Live. We should go back on there.
Yeah, let's go back. We haven't done it in a minute. Well, it's kind of late right now, but we can't really
still be on it.
I'm not doing that. There's no way. There's actually something I saw the other day on, what is it, 6buzz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 6buzz has been a little weird lately, but this one was actually a funny ad where...
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Was it Muzz who put up this or someone?
No, it's completely independent, but the branding looks the same.
I believe it's not independent.
It is. Actually, I didn't go to the website, but I'm pretty sure that's his own thing.
Well, what we're talking about essentially is there were a couple billboards put up, but it was actually in New York as well,
I believe,
where this guy named Muhammad put up an ad or a billboard basically saying, like, single, me too, let's fix that. And then it has his URL at the bottom that says findmuhammadawife.com.
That's funny.
And I'm pretty sure, I thought it was an ad this whole time, like an ad for another app. I'm going to go to the website right now.
I was just going to say, should we test it out?
A
You're right.
It is an ad for Muzz.
Yeah.
I knew it. Yeah. He's like the face of it or whatever. But that's an interesting ad, you know? You got people's attention for sure. It definitely worked.
Wow. I'm so shocked. I really thought, like, everyone was saying, how did he not get sued because the branding looks so similar to Muzz?
Not because it is Muzz. It sounds weird saying Muzz.
Muzz.
Muslims.
Muslim.
They are Muslims. Yeah, so that was an interesting ad that I saw, speaking of dating apps.
I'm still shocked.
There's
one
more thing I forgot to mention about the
billboards. App. You want me to test it out?
Yeah, I wanted to test it out.
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe if this video gets like, give me a like. Give me like a number.
Give this video 200 likes and Sada will make a
profile.
That's
so low.
What?
That's low.
Okay, get this video 300 likes and we'll get Sada on in pairs. I'm just saying, it could be a good opportunity, right? You could put in all your information. They do all the work for you. You know, you could find your guy.
You could find
your American boy.
Knowing me,
what?
I'll put my information and then I'll forget about it and just totally miss my window.
I'm sure you get some emails and notifications in the apps or whatever.
Why can't someone just DM me? No, don't do that.
I'm sure
I don't even open my DMs.
Well, she's asking for them DMs, guys.
No, not really.
Hit them up.
Not really. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm good, thank you.
But there was one more thing that I forgot to mention. Let me think real quick. Let me think.
Bring
me
blast. Think. Come on.
Okay, I can't think about it.
It'll come back to you eventually.
That sucks. I forgot, guys. It's whatever. It'll come back to me. But yeah, so the next thing I want to talk about, which is a little controversial. Have you seen on TikTok, there's recently, like, it's been going on for a while, but this, like, culture of, like, TikTok begging? Do you ever, like, randomly go across a live on TikTok?
Oh.
Where there's two people who are, like, facing each other? Like, it's a... They're like
the match thing.
The match thing, and they have to like fight each other to get more points or whatever. I don't know how it works. I don't know
how it's like the
people get points.
Gift. whoever gets the more gifts, I think.
Yeah, and apparently these guys are making bank from that, right?
Dang.
But recently, there's been some Muslim, other Muslim TikTokers. I don't know if they would be considered influencers, but just other Muslim TikTokers who are calling out another Muslim TikToker for doing this. Because essentially, this TikToker was known for doing like Islamic related content. He doesn't really show his wife on there at all, but it's more like comedic nature. Mm-hmm. It's like funny banter between him and his wife, but he also does like some Muslim related stuff. And he actually recently moved to a Muslim country. That gives a lot of information to find out who it is. But that's my point, essentially. Because, or not my point, but I'm going to get to that point eventually. But he has been found to be doing these TikTok lives. But, like, the way he's acting on it is very, like, you know, unbecoming of, you know, a Muslim husband. And a lot of times he'll be seen like doing a TikTok live, one of those verses with like another woman, and people think that he should be making better choices and not really acting like this online. And
but what does he do?
What?
Like, what does he do?
His job is TikTok. He quit his job.
Like, suggestively, or like, does he flirt with women online? Like,
no, he's literally just shouting. That's also another thing of what I'm saying. He's acting, it weirdly, it's like he's shouting at the screen, like telling people, you know, get us 1,000 more points. Like, he's like pointing up to the point thing. Like, he's basically trying to like rile up his viewers to make sure that he wins. And like, is going very like, you know, he's very kind of like acting a little crazy on there, right? Because that's how you have to play the game when you're doing this thing. You have to like get your followers riled up so you can actually win the game. I don't know what they win at the end. I don't know how this works, but apparently this makes them a lot of money, so they're incentivized to keep doing it. But now, like I mentioned, a lot of Muslim TikTokers are calling him out for this.
Who is it?
I don't want to say his name.
Okay, tell me offline.
Huh?
Tell me offline.
Okay, I'll tell you offline.
He's on live right now.
He's literally on live right now.
Oh, with a girl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, this guy.
Exactly. And one thing that, like, what do you think about that? Like, do you think there are people who are defending him, mm-hmm. saying, you know, he quit his job and moved mm-hmm. to Qatar mm-hmm. so he could do this full time, right? Mm-hmm. And live in a Muslim country, essentially. And sometimes that requires sacrifices and doing things that you might not necessarily want to do.
Let me get this straight. Mm-hmm. This man's on TikTok live begging people to give him more gifts on TikTok so that he can make more money.
Exactly.
Get a job, bro.
Well, he had a job and he quit it for TikTok.
Yeah, but you're essentially just begging for money online. What's your, like, yeah. No.
That's why they call it TikTok begging. And the thing is that he's not the only TikToker who does this. There's TikTokers of all, you know, genres and all like niches on the internet.
Yeah, who's dumb enough to gift them? Like, who's that? Like,
don't say that. You know, there are literally thousands of people who are gifting these people. And
why?
What?
Why?
I you know, it was just online. People were like, online, I get it.
If someone's like entertaining or like they're giving mm-hmm. you beneficial information, so you're like, here's a TikTok gift that cost me 3 cents to buy. Like, mm-hmm. I understand. But if you're on TikTok live saying, come on, guys, give me more gifts so I can make more money. And people are giving him.
They're not saying so I can make more money. Yeah, they're but saying it's implied. So I can win.
Yes, you win. You make money.
Yeah, but they don't want to. They're not going to say that outright, because then the person who's doing it will realize what they're actually. I don't know if they'll realize what they're doing, but that could be that could negatively impact your ability to win, or like how much you actually get. If you just say straight up, I want more money.
Not a fan.
Yeah, so you're not a fan of that, right?
No.
But I'm kind of with those people. The thing is that, okay.
You support that?
No. Okay, I don't support it. I understand it.
What part? Begging for money online?
I understand that sometimes you get desperate.
He's not desperate if he has the ability to work and he lives in Qatar.
But I would, you know, advise him to find another way. Like, okay, you're doing this right now. Immediately find another way to start supplementing your income. Get a job if you have to.
No, but why can't he do regular, like, sponsored content? Like, just...
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know how TikTok is. TikTok is very fickle. the audience is there one day and they're gone the next day. Like, the algorithm can love you one day and it'll hate you the next day. So it's very, it's not stable like a regular job, which is why I always tell people, like, if you're going to try and do something full time, like, make sure you have, like, first off, multiple platforms you can use.
Yeah.
Have, like, something that's a little bit more stable. Mm. Like, if you're only on one platform, and let's say you do have the other platforms, but they're not hitting as hard, or they're not making enough so that if you lost one income, that your other ones wouldn't be able to supplement it and, like, still be able to keep the same lifestyle that you did have, then you shouldn't be even questioning whether or not you should be... You shouldn't even be contemplating whether or not you should be quitting your job, right? You should just be, like, you know, continuing to do the work. And if you do want to quit your job, you have to...
Put your all into it
and start diversifying as quickly as possible. Because TikTok is not a place for someone to... If that's your only platform, you would be crazy to try and do that full-time, right? Because... No matter how big you are on that platform, eventually the algorithm will no longer serve you to their audience, because everyone stays on their For You page. Mm-hmm. Everyone rarely goes to their follow page. So you're going to lose that audience. Like, I guarantee you, at some point you're going to lose that audience. So you have to continue. You have to find a way to shift that audience, at least the dedicated ones, to a different platform where they're a little bit more... they're known to be a little bit more loyal and a little bit more of, I don't know, they're going to return more easily, or like it's expected that they're going to actually return to see what you have, right? And also depends on like what content you're putting out there, because like specifically his content was just him having banter with his wife, mm-hmm. who never shows up on camera.
Yeah, so you think maybe it's like the curiosity that keeps bringing people back, because they're like, well, we don't know what she looks like.
It could be the curiosity. Mm. It could just be the jokes that he's telling. Mm. But like, how do you move that to another platform, right? Like, you can try and do streaming, but if it's just you, people don't come for just for you. They don't come for just you. They come for you and your wife.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to YouTube, you can try and vlog. It's like, but your wife's not going to be in it. Like, that's your choice for doing that, but just know that your audience is not there just for you.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't understand what the audience is really there for, and they try and do something different, or they try and serve their audience something completely different that they weren't there for initially, and then they lose them. Mm. So that's my advice, I guess, for people who are thinking of doing something like this full time. I can't say, like, I haven't done it myself. I'm clearly still working a 9-to-5. We've been doing this for a few years. We're making money from it, but like not enough to like
quit our jobs,
right? Yeah. Not even close. So it's, and this is on YouTube where the audience is a little bit more stable compared to TikTok. Mm-hmm. So like, I wouldn't even dream of doing it on TikTok. Should not be the platform that you're trying to make a full-time job off of, unless you have like a business. But even businesses to a degree can suffer, because they might get a big hit once and then that audience doesn't return.
The thing about like making a living off of social media is mm-hmm. that I think people assume that it's easier than working a 9-to-5.
It's not.
It requires you're working way beyond 9-to-5. You're working around the clock, literally. Like mm-hmm. when you're a content creator, I feel like your brain is altered, because you start living life thinking, what can I make for good content? And like, you're no longer just like living life to live life. Yeah. You're constantly thinking of, what can I film? What can I do? Like, mm-hmm. you know, constantly looking for like collaboration opportunities and all that kind of stuff. But
mm-hmm. it's a sad thing to see if we're going back to, you know, people having to TikTok beg. Like, there, I don't know if you remember the Vlog Squad
with Sounds
like
familiar.
David Dobrik.
Mm, yeah,
he got
canceled
for like basically almost killing unaliving one of his friends. But the people who were around him. Mm-hmm. Especially like, there's this one older guy named like Jason Nash or something. He's notorious for TikTok begging and going on TikTok live with random people.
Isn't he like well off?
That's the thing. Like, I don't know. I don't think they thought that it would all go away in a night, which it basically did after
COVID.
They
all got canceled?
Well, David Dobrik was their source of like...
their income.
Opportunities. But opportunity, like if people had eyes on David Dobrik's channel, like they had eyes on his friends around him, and they would then go and check out what their friends are doing, right? Because they might have a different perspective, a different angle. but that only works for so long. If they're there for that person, like, sure, they'll check out your stuff, but they won't stick around because they're there for that other person. The audiences are very fickle on the internet, but I love you guys. and yes, he's been even made fun of at this point for TikTok begging.
I don't know. I'm having a hard time, like, understanding, like, I can't see myself doing that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when we're on TikTok live and people give us gifts, like, I still don't fully understand it. Mm-hmm. Maybe there is money behind it, but I don't know. I just, like, it's just, like, odd. Like, why beg? Like, don't they realize that people have to pay for these things mm-hmm. that they send you?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you have to pay for them, right?
Oh, yeah. I believe that's how they're getting money, right?
So you might as well just go stand on the side of the road and hold up a sign.
Well, there was that whole, like, epidemic of, like, TikTokers. What do they call them? The AI TikTokers? No, the NPC TikTokers. Mm. The ones who would, like, literally go onto the street.
Oh.
And they would, like, film, like, the Spider-Man dude. They would literally go on the street, set up his camera, and start doing, like, the NPC reactions or whatever in the middle of the sidewalk.
But at least that's entertaining. So if they throw him a couple dollars and
No. Not for people on the street.
Oh.
He would set up his TikTok live and stand in the middle of the sidewalk and start, like, doing it towards the camera there. Like, basically TikTok begging, or I guess now it would be called TikTok begging. Before it was called just, like, NPC live, whatever. But yeah, they would be doing that on the middle of the street in public.
Was he asking people though? Like, make sure you...
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's like, you expect it from those kind of TikTokers and people. Like, people who, you know, non-Muslim people who maybe don't have those same, like, expectations of how you conduct yourself, right?
I mean...
Especially in Islam, like, there are certain expectations. Like, a husband, especially the type of character he's set himself up to be, or like the type of person he's set himself up to be, there are certain things that are expected you to not do, and that's why I believe he's getting called out for it. But the one thing that did annoy me is that they would call him out for it, but they would never call him out by name. But like, and I believe that they do that is because they do that because there's that whole thing of, like, you know, not calling out other Muslims and, like, you know, trying to trying to almost, like, give them a warning or, like, give them
advice,
but, like, through TikTok.
Why not just DM him?
Exactly,
then?
Right? So that's why I don't like what he's doing, but I also don't like what the other people are doing by making TikToks, by calling him out for it, because you know what that's going to do. Even if you don't say their name, you know that you're going to see the first blue comment you're going to see is whoever that person is on TikTok. Now that the blue comment thing is, I literally, like, whenever someone's talking about something, I go immediately to the comments and I try and look for that first blue comment.
Same.
Be like, who are you talking about? And I click on that. Mm-hmm. You go down a rabbit hole. But
yeah.
In this case, like, that's what you were seeing. The first name that you were seeing on there was a person they were talking about. Mm-hmm. And then you literally go to his page and, like, you'd see him doing the live that they're talking about. But I don't like if you have personal issues with calling out other Muslims, then just don't do it online. Like,
yeah, keep your opinion to yourself.
Yeah. And, like, you can give general advice, but if you're specifically trying to call out a certain person, say their name or just don't make it.
Well, you're better off just messaging them privately.
Yeah.
Like, if you're truly concerned for, like, their, like, deeds, if it's impacting their deeds or whatever, and you want to advise them, it's better. I think it might come off more effective if you... Mm-hmm. Speak to them privately, because the minute you make a public video,
I just feels very dirty.
Whether you're subtweeting them or not.
Yeah. Essentially, it is subtweeting.
Yeah. Like, if you're doing that, then that's going to make the person more defensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I'm just kind of like.
Yeah. I don't like subtweeting culture. Mm-hmm. I don't like sub TikToking culture.
Yeah.
Like, you know, say it with your chest, say their name.
Yeah.
Right? Like, did we say, I don't know, I'm not calling, like, maybe I am calling out, so I should I say the name? Am I being hypocritical here by not saying his name? I did say his name earlier, no?
I thought we were cutting that out.
I'm calling out both of them. Let me do some live introspection. Because I'm technically calling him out for doing this, but my main gripe about this whole thing was that people were calling him out, but without saying his name. Knowing that the comments will put his name in there and then that will send, like, a group of people after him. So
then yeah, we do sound hypocritical by hiding his name.
Okay.
You're a hypocrite. I don't know why.
So another thing that's been going on in my YouTube world, I don't know if you've heard about this. You've probably already heard about this, but there is actually a very prolific UK YouTuber.
Yeah, I remember I saw it when we were in LA, and I was like, "Oh my god, you guys!"
Oh, you saw it in okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that so, I'm gonna try and play coy with the words because like the algorithm really do be suppressing depending on the words you're saying. But let's just say there is Young Philly, a YouTuber in the UK, very popular YouTuber, was found was charged with rape in Brisbane or in Australia. Mm-hmm. Right. And he was actually arrested for it and will now be spending like, I think the next now he's on out on bail, but he has to stay in the country until his trial.
Crazy.
But when this came out, first off, it shows you how like, even though I watched them on YouTube, I didn't know like how big these UK YouTubers were. Right. Because I was hearing that Philly was like he had a sauce with like. Like he had like a sauce that was now discontinued. He had like a brand deal with like FIFA or like the major soccer league, whatever, where he does like a cooking show with soccer players. He has like a TV show. He has he has a podcast with Chunks.
His music career that was just taking off,
which is why he was there to begin with. Like he had so many things going on. And I found it kind of interesting because this paralleled so well with like the Diddy situation, because the moment that he was charged, out of all of a sudden all this information starts coming out about him. And that's the weird thing about the internet. It's like no one's really your friend on the internet, you know. Everyone is just like, it's very similar to this. Another thing that parallels the Diddy situation is that like everyone will cover your mistakes and cover your shortcomings and cover the bad things you do until they can't make money off you anymore. The minute when that Philly was arrested, like all these random TikTokers and people start coming out saying, yeah, you know, he was really mean to us here. And he was like really mean to us there. You know, I had a shoot with him once and he was super like standoffish.
Really?
He's like super rude. Yeah. So
I didn't see that stuff.
Sorry?
I didn't see the stuff of people criticizing him because I always thought like he came off pretty like nice online.
No, people were making edits of all the creepy stuff he did before this. Like these are videos everyone has seen, but like you know how like when information comes out about a person,
you view them differently.
Yeah, but then like they make an edit and they're like, "Ooh, that the way he looked, the way he said that." Once you have like context, like about what happened afterwards, like you're like, "Ooh, this actually looks a lot weirder now that we know that he was caught with this," even though he technically wasn't found guilty. But you know,
yeah,
with all the information that's been coming out, like it's looking more and more like this is something that was almost expected to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of crazy that someone could get so high up there and have all this dirt on them. Maybe that's why he was able to make it so high. Like I don't know, maybe people thought they could have like information on him so they could like use that. I don't know, there's some conspiracies I've been kind of mulling in my head, but it's crazy how like quick the narrative changes on someone when they're charged with something so crazy or heinous as this.
Like, why is it always SA when someone's like super famous and at like the not always the height of their stardom, but like when they're really big and they get caught or they get arrested for something, it's always SA or some grimy thing with like children, underage people. Like, why is it always that? Like, why couldn't you be doing, like, money laundering, tax evasion, like, something like that, you know?
I think, like, it's a power thing. Like, you know.
But you're already powerful enough.
It's mainly, of course, this is, of course, mainly with men. But, like, I feel like men, their main drive is, you know, the woman. Getting the woman. And, like, when you're that powerful and it's that easy to get, like, you're almost drunk with that power. You feel like you can do whatever you want. Like, you can literally just grab a person, and because you feel like you're so popular, you have so much money now, like what, like there's no way they would even deny my request. So that's essentially what happens. That's what happened with Diddy.
I know, it's just like crazy to me. Diddy's like next level though.
Yeah,
I actually just saw a news article, like a clip of a news segment of a new another incident. Mm-hmm. And it was so graphic. I've never seen the news.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that one?
The one like the with the, who he did to the girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, with like
the some guy named Shane something.
Oh, and with the guy?
This random guy meets this girl, then he FaceTimes Diddy, and then she was like, I'm not impressed by that. Like, so. Yeah. And then Diddy gets upset. His ego gets hit. So they all come to the hotel room.
Oh, yeah. And they, like, set her up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that, too. You saw that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was messed up.
And that's also a thing. Like, men know how powerful, like, violating someone in that way is.
That's so messed up.
That they've, that's how they control people, right? They know what they can do to someone. And I feel like that act in itself, if it's done without consent, is like probably the most violating thing you can do to a person, right? You can stab someone, you can cut someone, you can do a lot of things to someone, but if you do that act specifically, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that one really messes with someone mentally.
Yeah, because they have to live through the trauma of it.
Yeah, because that's like the most violating thing you can do to someone, right?
Yeah.
So that's what it is. Like, it's just a power thing at the end of the day.
Every single time, though?
Sorry?
Every single time?
Yeah. I feel like it always comes down to power and like feeling like, you know, you're at the top of the world. When you feel like you're at the top of the world, you feel like everyone else is there to serve you. Especially if he's like going out to these shows and these clubs, he feels like everyone is there for me. Mm. You know, all the women are there for me. They want to be with me. And they'll do whatever they want. They'll do whatever I ask them to do. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, there's that whole culture of like, ooh, are they really saying no? If they're saying no, are they being played? It's a whole weird culture. There's a reason that us as Muslims really, like, we're kind of steering clear of this. Even though there are some like Muslim influencers who have also fallen into this, right?
Yeah.
We've spoken about other Muslim influencers who also have tried to take part in these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because that's why I believe it goes back to power, right? Once you feel like you have influence over other people, especially of the opposite sex, specifically for men, you start to think differently. You start to think, like I mentioned, where you just like, yeah, they want to do this for me, you know? There's a reason they love me. If they love me, they'll do whatever they want for me.
Crazy.
Yeah, so I feel, the person I feel the worst for is probably Chunks. But I feel like Chunks kind of knew the type of person he was.
I don't think so, because why would he align? But there are videos that came out.
What?
Why would he align his brand with someone who's a grimy person, if that's actually what he is?
Well, like, it's like that whole thing, right? Like, it's like that whole thing where, like, you have that friend, like, you know that with you, they're great, right? But with other people, they can be very standoffish. And maybe you don't see everything, like, they don't show you that in front of them. Or you kind of, like, because you've known them for so long and they've been your friend for so long, you tend to give them a bly. And you be like, you know what? Yeah, you know, it's like, that's just him. Ah, that's Philly. It's whatever, okay? There are people like that, right? Who are very like aggressive, and you're just, and because they're your friend and they treat you well, and you know they treat like certain people well, they have like certain values that you respect, you kind of look past certain things.
Maybe, but like if that were me, I would like, and if it was that to that degree, I don't know, I would personally really not support that. Like if I knew that my friend had those types of tendencies, I would not want to be around them. I wouldn't want to be associated with them. Mm-hmm. I would advise them because I care for them. But if they're not listening and they're still engaging in those types of acts.
It could be also that is that you feel like you can save that person. You feel like you can change that person. You know, there's plenty of examples of Chunks and Philly on their podcast where he's trying to like get through to Philly and like say, hey, you can live a better life. You know, join us. He's been trying to convert him since like day one.
He has.
Right. So that could be a thing too. It's almost like that whole thing where, you know, women will go for like the bad boy and say, I can change him. It's the same situation. All relationships are sort of the same. They all mirror each other in that sense where like even for friendships, you feel like, oh, this person is just misunderstood or I can see the good in them and I just need to bring that out of them. I can change them. It's maybe a similar attitude that he had towards Philly.
Maybe.
Right. But you could tell that he still knew that he had a lot of work to do because they're like, you know, I might have fallen for it, too. But there are a couple of TikToks where people made where like I think they're specifically talking about whether they would let each other marry each other's sister or something like that. And Philly was like, yeah, Chunks, I would let you marry my sister, no problem. I would love to have you part of my family. And the Philly's like, would you do the same for me? He's like, no. I would immediately, he's like, no, I would not let you marry any of my sisters.
That's funny.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens in a few months. He has to stay. And the thing about Australia is that they, I believe they don't have extradition laws, or like something about they're not going to be extraditing him. So if he is found guilty over there, he will have to serve his sentence in Australia, in an Australian jail.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. It's an interesting situation. It's very
unfortunate.
It's unfortunate for the girl. Like, you know, I feel,
yeah,
because they're also, unfortunately, there are like, people coming out now saying that this is the same girl that like falsely accused Brent Faiyaz a few years ago and tried to do the same thing of setting him up. But it's not verified that it's even the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if it's the same person. Like, that's the thing about the internet these days. Like, information, it's very hard to find the actual truth of the matter.
We've talked about that, I remember.
Yeah, we have. And we've been seeing it with the election and all that stuff. So, and just general internet media, it's very hard to find the actual facts of a case. Or at least it's very hard to, get the real facts of the case out there. And usually the more juicy stuff is what really gets propagated. Even though it's not true, because it just sounds better, and may work towards your narrative and be like, you know, let's say you're a big Philly fan and you're like, oh no, he would never do this. Oh, there's a story out there saying that this was the same girl who also
accused
Brent Faiyaz. That definitely has to be what happened here. He's definitely not guilty. Guys, you're all wrong about this, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, just let the courts decide what the real matters of the case are, and we'll see what happens. Okay, Sada, what you got for me today?
Liam Payne passed away.
Me.
Were you not a One Direction fan?
No. You're asking me?
Some of their songs.
Is that really that big for you guys?
Yeah.
Why?
It's just sad.
I guess, yeah, because he was your childhood star. But, like, you know, he kind of grew out of that, no?
Yeah, but it's still sad. Like, okay, I wasn't, I liked One Direction, but I was a little bit older, so I never actually watched the season of X Factor. I just remember when they came out and I was like, they have catchy songs. Mm-hmm. And I watched their movie. Like, I enjoyed their music.
Yeah.
But if it was someone like one of the Jonas Brothers, I would literally have an Amuta. An Amuta.
What?
Amir.
No, you wouldn't.
Get out of here. You don't know me if you don't believe that.
Oh, my God.
Nick Jonas?
Yeah.
I saw a video on TikTok, an article saying that in the Czech Republic, they had a concert and someone brought in like an illegal laser pointer and they aimed it at Nick and he had to run off stage because they didn't know if it was like a sniper. And I was like, oh my God, imagine if Nick got shot at a concert.
But like, okay, I can get it because like they're your childhood stars.
Jonas Brothers?
Yeah, I can get it because that's like, I'm trying to think of someone.
It's like Philip DeFranco for you.
Yeah.
Oh, singer-wise?
Yeah, like.
It's like Black Eyed Peas. You liked Black Eyed Peas.
I wouldn't really feel anything for that.
Okay, yeah. Annoying Orange. No, not Annoying Orange.
It's like Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
But even then, like, I'll be like, oh, that sucks. But, like, I wouldn't be destroyed over it.
I wasn't destroyed. I was just shocked about Liam.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just shocking. Like, I saw it and I was like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
And then the story behind how he passed away is sad.
It was an OD, no?
No, I think they found that in his system.
Yeah.
But he jumped off of his hotel balcony.
Oh, really?
From the third floor and then fell.
You know,
yeah,
that's why this whole like industry in general,
it's made to just ruin people.
Yeah, it's just no matter how happy someone looks.
Yeah, it's just a very
sick industry in general.
It's a dark place.
That's why even now I've been trying to avoid like even secular music and just stuff like that in general.
I get what you mean. Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
just. It there's nothing good that can come out of it a lot of times, and it's just sure like for nostalgia and all that stuff, and you have to be very like picky on what you are listening to, that kind of stuff. So
I feel that.
I've been trying to avoid that in general. That's why I just listen to podcasts now for the most part. Even now, when I'm at the gym, I'll like have a podcast playing, or maybe some Nancy Adrian. I don't know.
Nancy Adrian gets the blood flowing.
I'm just saying, man. Nancy Adrian and Shireen. Maybe really been hitting sometimes, but
that's hilarious.
Yeah. So it's an unfortunate situation, but it's something that's been happening a lot with a lot of celebrities, and it's been happening for decades, right? I it's know. Nothing new.
Yeah,
it is unfortunate that someone that you know you look you didn't look up to, but you like
I didn't look
you
up
look,
to him.
You listened to him.
I used to listen to him. Yeah,
yeah. But another person who passed away has a little more gravity around it was actually the leader of Hamas, Yahya Sinwar. I didn't realize how big it was, like, because a lot of times they say the leader, but this is the first time where when they said a leader, like, I immediately knew the face to it. I knew who they were talking about. But it's kind of like a heroic story in a way. Like, people are kind of twisted. If you see how it happened, yeah, how he was unalived, essentially, was very, it was very indicative of his character and his fight for resistance, like his need for resistance, because...
So how he died is how he lived.
Exactly. Because you would never see these leaders, these false leaders, these weaklings out here who are doing these horrible the acts on the Palestinian stuff, people. Yeah. Like, you would never see them on the ground, you know, being on the front lines. This guy was literally in a building on the front lines. And they had already shot the building. They already shot the building with a tank mortar, whatever you call that thing. The building's already almost fully collapsed. And they found him. These guys were so, like, weak that they didn't even want to step into the building to capture him in person, right? They could have gone in and taken him.
Yeah.
And he was found. They sent a drone in. And he was found sitting on, like, a chair of some sort. I think he was sitting on the chair. He had already lost an arm from the missile from the tank. And he was basically bleeding. He put, like, a tourniquet on there. He's already bleeding. He knew he was done at that point. Even in that moment, he knew everything was done. When he saw the drone, his fight for resistance did not stop. He picked up the first thing he could pick up, a stick, and just threw it at the drone as, like, his last ditch effort before. And they still, even though they knew, like, okay, they see him there, he has nothing on him, he's done, basically. They still sent a sniper, like, to another building to go and essentially take him out. They say that they, like, purposely unalived him, but this was all on accident. They didn't know that he was going to be there. And it's actually shows you that ultimately, this whole time, they really don't have... They're not really being as precise as they're claiming to be.
Yeah.
Right? They're just kind of doing this whole, like, carpet bomb everything.
Yep, yep, yep.
And if we get, like, some people, sure. If we get some mass fighters, sure. But we're mostly just trying to take out the people who are there. Mm. Right? And they just got him by chance because, of course, he was an actual fighter. He was on the front lines doing, basically walking the walk. And sure, there are things like he said in his past that you may or may not agree with, but it still doesn't take away from the fact that he was at the end of the day fighting for his people, and he thought he was doing what he thought was best for his people. So that was, they made a martyr out of him essentially, and it was just powerful to see that, like, his fight for resistance never stopped even though he knew he was done.
Yeah.
So that was interesting reaction to see from people who were. They put out this video and they expected people to be like, oh, you know,
cheering them on.
But they're like, oh, you know, these guys are actually fighting back and, like, they're actually resisting this force that seems almost unstoppable to them. But they're, no matter how dire things seem, they will continue to fight. But that was unfortunately something that did happen this week as well.
Yeah.
You know, inshallah, they will be victorious. The Palestinian people will be freed.
Inshallah.
And this fighting will stop. Yeah. I'm sure there's, like, information that we're probably not getting. I feel like they put out information that's going to, like, discourage the people. But there are probably things happening in the background that, like I mentioned last time, that show that they're desperate. The other side is desperate, and it's only a matter of time that they're kind of done for. But we'll see. But, yeah, thank you again, guys, for listening to this week's episode. Hopefully some of what we talked about was interesting. Remember, if you get this video to 300 likes, Sad, I will make a profile on In Pairs.
Potentially, I don't know.
Inshallah, we will find her a nice, you know, God-fearing, very rich, around her age, tall, dark, and handsome. Tall. I'm saying tall again because apparently that's the thing she likes. Man. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. remember to subscribe to the channel, follow us on all the platforms, Cousin Connection Pod, and we'll see y'all next week. Bye.